Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, along with Shad Marquitz. We are your hosts for this weekend edition. Also your hosts throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, Corlin Economics Report. This week was just full of commentating and covering the continued downtrend and just weak markets that we are seeing really across every sector. Throughout this weekend show, we will touch on this weakness, but we're also going to try to take a more big picture look at where markets could go from here and where a reasonable stopping point might be. We're kicking off the show with a good friend of the show, Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. Now, Dana, we've chatted for a couple years now, and quite frankly, over the last six months to a year, you've been spot on playing these markets, riding the wave higher, and then pivoting when you thought stuff got overvalued more at the end of last year. And you've been calling this pullback correctly, almost perfectly in my eyes. To me, though, it seems like this pullback has been almost too orderly. Some people are saying, oh, this is 2008 again, but we haven't had these big shocks to the system in terms of big events where companies are going bankrupt and markets are going limit down. It seems like just a consistent stair-stepping pattern lower. What's your takeaway from this environment where the Fed's getting the blame, but again, there isn't one individual, it seems like, event that we can point to that's causing all of this weakness?
Yeah, that's right. Thanks a lot, Corey. As we spoke about earlier, this type of action has all the earmarks of one thing, and that's a bear market, like a protracted bear market, not just like a flash in the pan or a quick correction where you've got hot money that just flips short or flips out of the market and panics, and it's enough of a washout, a quick washout, and then all the dip buyers come in and the Fed puts in place, of course, and you rebound quickly, you V-bottom, you go back up. This sort of relentless drip lower day after day without that kind of a washout, like short-term washout, panic-driven type of plunge, this is more symptomatic of a longer-term protracted bear market where it's going to take a while on a longer-term basis to kind of scare people, to get people out of the market, to get people to give up, to get people to, throw their hands up and pretty much give up. And from a long-term perspective, there's still a ton of excess left in the system. This is probably closer to the start, which sounds weird, closer to the start than the end of a longer-term type of corrective action. Because if you look at the longer-term metrics, the background indicators that we talk of, they're not really timing type of indicators, but longer-term metrics like household investments in stocks, equity valuations, long-term long-term price versus trend metrics on the stock averages. All this stuff was at all-time highs, a couple months ago. That's just beginning to correct. And as we've spoken about before, things that go to excess in one direction usually go to excess in the other direction. So we would expect this thing to be, drag out for a long time before those excesses turn into extreme on the other end of the spectrum and put the markets in position where we can put in a durable secular type of a bottom. That's a long way out. I will say the good news after that dose of sober news, from a short-term perspective, I would say, nothing, it doesn't go straight down. I would say we're very close to maybe a good tradable bottom. So I will leave you with that instead of all the bad news. But I would caution after that type of a bounce or a intermediate term bounce back, I would say it's probably going to be more of a selling opportunity than a buying opportunity.
Yeah, Dana, that's kind of what I was going to ask you, because and I think you set it up well there. Like when we saw the 2008-2009 great financial crisis, while it was shocking to the world, you know, it was because of the housing bubble bursting, and it did kind of have a V-shaped recovery where, yeah, it was brutal, but then it also shot to the upside really strong for the next few years. And then the 2020 pandemic crash, people were saying that was a bear market. It's like, you know, it only lasted a month. It was almost over before it started. So that really was a V-shaped snapback. But in a real bear market, where it's a secular bear market like you're discussing, there will be these points where there are relief rallies. And generally, those relief rallies will be something that you'd want to maybe make a quick short side trade on once they bounce up to resistance. So how will you be playing those relief rallies within the bear market?
Sure. Just touch on your point. You look at that COVID crash in 2020, or even look at the crash of 87. Those were not secular bear markets. Those were short-term, very painful corrections, but they snap back almost immediately. If you talk about 2008, 2009, you have to remember stocks topped out, depending on what market cap you're looking at, anywhere from May to October of 2007. So we had been drifting down for a year before all of that, the ugliness that hit in October of 2008. So we were drifting down. Same thing in really 2000. Most stocks topped out in 1998. The large caps topped out in 2000 and drifted lower into 2002 when we finally had some climactic type waterfall plunges. So I think that's what we're in store for. So we're probably going to drip lower before some climactic type of event, maybe a year or 2 years out. I don't know when that will be, but for now, it's more of the earlier stages of a secular bear market. But to your question, you will get those short to intermediate term extreme washout type readings on a short term basis in sentiment, in breadth, in kind of price action. And it's helpful to watch, you know, price levels in the beginning of bear markets. At the end, you get these overshoots, but in the beginning, it often is constructive to if you've got the good analysis to pick out your levels, because it will kind of stair step down, like you mentioned at first. So I would say we are close to some levels where we'll more aggressively cover our shorts and play for that long bounce, maybe for a month or a couple months potentially in stock. So I think we're very, very close to that. You look at, for example, the new lows on the exchanges. If we get a washout day today, if we get a very ugly close, we very well might set a record for most new lows in a day on the NASDAQ. You know, there's a lot of more issues traded than it used to be. It might not be a record for percentage of new lows, but we might set a record for most new lows. And that's, you know, one of those signs we'd be looking for to put in an intermediate term bottom, a good tradable bottom. So we'd cover a lot of shorts on that, probably put on some trading longs. But like you mentioned, there is a ton of resistance now up above just because of all the levels that have been broken. All the former support now becomes resistance. So you have kind of an air pocket we can work through quickly to get some quick gains on the upside. But like you mentioned, those will be trades only. And it'll also be a good chance if you're stuck in some things that have broken down that maybe used to be good technical longs that are not any longer, that'll be a good time to kind of take out the trash, as we would say.
So the early stages of a true bear market, and a bear market that might be unlike any that we've seen in a couple decades, then is anything safe then, Dana, outside of maybe some tradable bounces? Are there any sectors during a prolonged grinding bear market that can do well?
Once you get into the meat of the bear market, no. You look at the defensive names that have held up pretty well, and they can do so. Generally, they can continue to make higher highs and higher lows. When you get into those climactic type ends of either short-term moves or the ends of the long-term, then nothing is safe. They'll take everything out and shoot it. So there's nowhere to hide except cash. You know, you can play, certainly if you're nimble, if you're, you know, an active advisor like we are, you can certainly attempt to play the short side, which we have done pretty aggressively this year, and try to pick up games. Obviously, that's not recommended for you know, amateurs out there. But other than that, a good place to put your monies in cash, because nothing in that, like I said, in the meat of a bear market, nothing is safe. And what makes this one potentially more devastating for the investment community at large is the damage that's being done to the bond market. We were in the last several secular bear markets, you know, in the 2000s, the bond market was still in a great bull market, which pretty much, I think, from our perspective, probably ended in 2020, and we're probably seeing rates go up for several decades to come, potentially. In that case, if bonds are not a place to hide and we're seeing the flip of both stocks and bonds, then that's going to make things particularly tough for even so-called conservative investors, older investors who think their portfolios are conservative. I saw a chart from, I think it was Merrill Lynch the other day that said the typical 60-40 portfolio is on track for its worst year ever. It's on pace for a minus 50% year. So if you think you're like in some sort of a conservative type of portfolio, a balanced portfolio, and you're not aware of the fact that bonds are likely in a secular bear market as well, it's going to be not just shocking, it's going to be devastating for those types of investors who think they're at least they might be losing money, but bonds are going to cushion the blow, because they're not going to cushion the blow this time.
I think that's an excellent point, Dana, and something that a couple of other guests have mentioned as well, that 60-40 model has really been blown up now, and we've really seen the end of the 30 to 40 year run in bonds, which means we've seen the low in rates. And as you point out, if rates keep going higher and if bonds keep going lower, a lot of people's retirement plans, when they're not checking the markets every day, are going to start showing quarterly statements that are less than stellar. But one place people are hiding is cash. And when you look at the US dollar, I'd love to get your thoughts on it. It's really ratcheted higher from when you think from where it was just a year ago in the low 90s to where it is now, 104.87 as we record this. What is your take on the dollar? Is it getting top heavy here, or can it just keep blasting higher?
No, the trend is up. You have to be bullish on the dollar still. We spoke, I think, a couple of weeks ago when the dollar ran up to 104. We said might be some temporary resistance, because we're running into peaks from the couple of years prior, which were honestly the highs for the past two decades for the most part. Now we're breaking through today. Up close to 105. So those are like almost multi-decade highs. So there, you cannot be bearish the dollar right here. I think there's upside right now in the immediate term after this breakout up towards that 110 level might be the next level to look for potentially a pause.
All right, Dana, we'll wrap it up here. Boy, oh boy, I wish there was a bit more positivity for these markets. But look, you've been spot on with your calls, and this is already, it seems like, a different sort of bear market that we've experienced over the last couple of decades, because the last few have come on so quick and have really been driven by one, maximum two singular events that started the downfall. This one, man, there's a lot of negativity out there because people everywhere are losing money, and it's that grinding nature that's killing everybody. Dana, thank you, as always, for your time, man. I really appreciate your insights on these markets. We'll chat again in another couple weeks. Keep up the good job, Dana. Really appreciate it.
Sounds great. Always a pleasure, guys.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.